Welcome to Prefer Not To, a weekly sometime cocktail hour.
Always cocktail hour.
With your hosts, me, I'm Josh, and that's Kate.
Hey!
Kate's a upcoming 20-something working in retail. I'm a 40-something retired newspaper editor turned house husband, which I turn out to be much more suited at. So each week we have a cocktail and try to explain the world to one another. How's your world doing, Kate?
My world's tired.
Is it tired in here?
Yes.
What's our cocktail this week?
Our cocktail this week is the mimosa.
And why are we having a mimosa today?
Because it is Sunday.
It's like our Passover question. Why is today unlike other days?
It's Sunday. We're recording a special podcast Sunday edition. And what do you have on Sundays? Mimosas.
For many reasons in our state, one reason being you can't actually get liquor on Sundays.
Yeah.
And we're recording this show for the second time, on a second Sunday, in fact, because the previous one died on us. So you're getting the benefit of our having researched and rehearsed this show already.
Plus, we have a new mic.
It is. Oh, I was going to touch on that. So a bit of housekeeping before Kate goes into the mimosa. We do have a new mic, so I'm hoping that the sound works out pretty good. If it doesn't, let us know. Wanted to say hi to a few people who are contributing and commenting us on social media. Really? Isn't that's who hosts today with Kathy Lee? Mita and Kathy Lee?
Mita. No.
Your friends Sarah and Jason, who are regular commenters on our WordPress site.
And we thank you for it.
Despite this differing with you on Lost. Thank you for participating.
You're really hammering that into the
Well, they hammered it. Like, each of them commented on Lost, like, in our first several shows.
They've only one time each.
Okay, that's true. I'm sorry. And my Twitter friend, Dania, who thoughtfully retweets every one of our announcements. And I encourage that behavior and am grateful for it. So thank you very much, Dania, Sarah, and Jason. So that said, tell us a little bit about the mimosa.
The mimosa is a classic morning beverage. It's a celebratory beverage often had at brunches, weddings, and the whatnot. It is
a whatnot drink.
It is one part orange juice and one part sparkling wine or champagne.
Mm-hmm. I've had them with Prosecco too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Any bubbly wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, although not like, I guess you couldn't have them with like a bubbly red like Lambrusco or something.
That would be, maybe if you had it with like cranberry juice.
Ooh, did we just invent a drink?
Probably not, but. Yeah.
Somebody has already put cranberry and Lambrusco together.
I'm sure.
That actually would be really tasty, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. So anyhow, what's the origin? Do we know the origin of the mimosa?
No real origin, like most cocktails, just that it's been popular since the turn of the century, and it has probably gotten its name after the mimosa flower, which is a flowering bush tree. No, sorry, it can't be a bush and a tree. It's a flowering tree.
Don't put limits on it, ma'am.
And parts of Australia, which has a bright yellow flower.
This one doesn't have like a hotel story or anything attached to it. Right?
No.
Okay. So there was no like at the Ritz or.
Yeah. Like unlike every other cocktail we've discussed, there is no Ritz mysterious bartender who made it up and drove in a sidecar to.
No, exactly.
To
there's no Battle of Mimosa that this was created to commemorate.
No sidecar to driving to Manhattan with.
Oh man, did you see that there's a new cocktail named after the Anthony Weiner's Twitter handle, whatever it is?
Oh, Carlos Danger.
Yeah, there's some bar in New York that has invented the Carlos Danger.
What's in it?
I don't know. Let me look it up. Tell us a little bit more about your memories of mimosas while I look up Carlos's wiener.
Not really any particular memories of mimosas. It's just a lovely, fizzy, light cocktail to have. I don't have any memories attached to the mimosa, so.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. Too many. You know, we had, there's a great place in town, that Indian place that's, what is it, Mint? No,
yeah,
is
well,
it Mint that
yes.
had the endless mimosas?
I mean, that's probably my foremost memory of mimosas.
That was the first time you and I ate in the restaurant together.
I think it was. But they make important distinction. They make their mimosas with Sunny D.
Ugh.
You couldn't tell. Did you?
I could. They were very sweet. But, you know, after three of them, you can't tell. But
wow.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. So this is from CBS New York. Mayoral candidate Anthony Weiner's Carlos Danger sexting sobriquet. Oh, that writer loved using that, didn't he? Already has spoke to a slew of jokes and a name generator where there's now a bistro in the Carroll Gardens section of Brooklyn has decided to honor Weiner's. Is it Weiner or Weiner? It's Weiner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he couldn't even change it for that. Has decided to honor Weiner's alias with a dangerous libation. Okay, so the Carlos Danger is
2 ounces of mezcal.
Here we go. Yeah, where are you seeing it?
2 ounces of mezcal, okay. 1/2 ounce of grapefruit juice, 1/2 ounce of honey syrup, and 1/2 ounce of lime juice. It is shaken and served with grapefruit zest and a sugar rim.
Well, that's just like, it's like a sidecar slash margarita. It's like a sweet thing.
Then we shoot a little bit of Campari on top to give it a little red effect.
Okay. So it's kind of a, yeah, it's like a sidecar-y type. It's like a sidecar with tequila.
Well, if there's anything that I've noticed, it's that cocktails are essentially just that you have like two cocktails and then everything else is just kind of tweaks and added whistles.
You know, unlike a lot of the novelty cocktails, that actually sounds pleasant. Do you want to make Carlos Dangers in a coming week?
Sure.
Yeah, that could be kind of fun. Although we'd have to buy Campari.
Well.
Anyhow, so this week we're having mimosas because it is the Lord's Day and we can't buy spirituous liquors in our state on Sunday. And mm-hmm. we are recording
two shows. And definitely not before
noon.
Week.
And definitely not before. Well, you can't buy beer and wine at all before noon.
At
like
any,
in restaurants.
Any day of the week?
No, just on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. But you can buy liquor all day on Sunday.
Well, I know.
Okay. Anyhow,
I'm just saying,
laws,
if I woke up tomorrow and I went into a restaurant at like 8 a.m. and I was mm-hmm. like, I want a beer, would they be able to give it to me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just of a Sunday. It's way worse in South Cackalack, which, you know, it's kind of sad because the states with the most restrictive liquor laws are the states you most desperately want to get drunk in.
That is actually very funny. It's interesting how that works. Like Utah.
Yeah. You know, and I could be very wrong on this, but they were not actually allowed to call them liquor or something, or even spirits. I think there were signs that they had to call them ghosts or something.
What?
Like, there's words that you... I'm serious. And this may not be the case. And this
in
may
South
be in
Carolina?
No, in Utah.
Oh.
That,
still.
That you had to use certain words to when you were advertising liquors in Utah. It was a big deal back during the Winter Olympics. Because remember, they had to pass a lot of new laws to let restaurants sell. I think in Salt Lake City, they're allowed to serve liquor by the drink, but it's like the only place in the state. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just remember it being a deal around the
What
Olympics.
I do know...
Because we all know athletes love their drinks.
What I do know is that Utah is the number one state in consumption of ice cream in the United States.
Huh. You know, I bet that's because they have so few Asians and therefore like so few people with lactose intolerance.
I think it's because they're majorly Mormons.
I know, I'm joking.
And Mormons have no other vice except to eat ice cream and learn
new forms
of
dance. Oh, they
got
plenty of vices. They just have very few legal they can do in public.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Well, you know, it's like that joke about Baptists.
Going no.
You can't invite two Baptists fishing.
Why?
Because if you invite them both, you won't get to drink.
Oh. Or like wherever there's an Episcopal, you know, you get four... Episcopalians together, you'll always have a fifth or something like that.
Yeah, that's sort of the reverse joke.
An ex-boyfriend of mine was Episcopalian and made that joke a lot.
Yeah. One of my best friends is super Episcopalian. Yeah. Why do we keep coming back to talking about religion on this show? I wasn't even trying. I was just making that joke about Baptists because it's funny. That's a joke, by the way, Methodists tell about. Because you know that Methodists tell Baptist jokes and Baptists tell Methodist jokes, right?
Yeah, because Methodists hate Baptists and vice versa. I mean, right. not absolutely.
You guys rumble, right? You have like
yes.
satin jackets. It's
well,
the Methodist coronets
my,
versus the Baptist dragons.
I've asked my dad
dragons.
About that a lot, and I'll drive past another church and I'll be like, hey, Dad, do you guys have like knife fights with these guys, church fights? And he always responds the same way. No, Kate, I don't think we do.
Well, you know, it's like, it's sort of a rural humor tradition, Baptist Methodist jokes. It's like knock-knock jokes down here.
Yeah.
That they tell them. I mean, people from elsewhere may not know, but that's like one of those things that, you know, I guess it's sort of substitutes for ethnic jokes that it's sort of okay to tell because they're on equal footing. Since, by the way, in most of the towns out there, people are either Baptist or Methodist.
Yeah.
And there's a few Presbyterians, but yeah.
Nah.
Okay. So anyhow, that's the mimosa. So thank you, Kate, for researching and telling us about the mimosa. So we're going to slide right into our explain it to me feature in which one or the other of us finds an aspect of popular culture or culture at large that because of our somewhat significant difference in age, the other one does not explain about the other one's half of culture. And this week, I am asking Kate to explain something that has baffled me for nigh on 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Each year, by the way, I keep thinking that your people will renounce it.
My people?
You know, the people your age that are responsible for this. And each year, each winter, I am proven wrong. And that phenomenon is Ugg boots. And all I know about Ugg boots is everybody who wears them mm-hmm. looks like the Indian from The Village People.
I'm going to go ahead and say very outrightly that I don't know what it is about Ugg boots. I'm not some kind of ambassador with all-knowing knowledge of why people my age do stupid shit.
Oh, don't lie. Yes, you are.
I'm guessing that it's kind of an amalgamation of the fact that they are expensive and that they're also fashionable.
Are they expensive?
Yeah.
But see, to me, it's like, okay, so leg warmers, right? Which
right.
is sort of iconic of 82, 83, 84, mm-hmm. right? And it was really only about 18 months in the early 80s that they were hugely popular. Right now, Ugg boots have been popular like three times as long as leg warmers
I'll were. Have to take your word on that because I'm could neither confirm nor deny the popularity of UGG warmers.
Well, I mean, it's been at least 6 winters that I've been seeing UGG boots. At least. It's probably 10 years now, right?
I'm going to say, yeah, I mean, my friends had some in high school, and that was a while ago. I can't tell you, a friend of mine bought a pair of UGG boots, or I think her stepsisters didn't fit, so she ended up keeping them or something. The point is that she had a pair of UGG boots, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing with your life? And she's like, but they're so comfortable and warm.
But they can't possibly be comfortable because they have no sole in them either. They're like, and again, I don't wear them, so correct me if I'm wrong, but they're not like orthopedically, they don't have like arch supports in
them.
No, but they're not like
they're
shoes.
Warm. So her defense was if you live somewhere cold, they're nice. And I was like, hello.
You shoot a raccoon, tie it to your leg, it'd be warm and still not comfortable.
But I'm just saying, like, we don't live anywhere where we get vastly, like, there's no snowed in winters. There's no slogging through the snow for more than probably 2 days at a time, max. It's not like you have a week-long snow where you have to go back and forth to church or to work or wherever. Like, you know, this isn't New York City.
And what
we
get here, what that leads to is that we have, like, a lot of these college kids who have the UGG boots, but the rest of their clothes are sort of autumnal, like, not super wintry. So you'll get people, like, women wearing, like, normal mini skirts with, like, you know, like, tights, and then the UGG boots, which is just, like, the worst possible look. Now, I'm not, like, super fashionable, but it's terrible,
no,
right?
No, it is, especially that I reached my height of annoyance with UGG boots when on campus on any given day, you would see girls walking around with that exact look. They'd be wearing like gym shorts and a t-shirt and UGG boots, and it's August.
Right. And that to me is just like outright trying. I don't know. I mean, it's like, I guess it's a fashion. And you know, whatever, fashion is fashion. You don't know, but
you're looking at me like I know, but
I just understand. I don't understand the longevity. Like, to me, they should have died a long time ago. And
you know,
why have they had such a longevity?
I don't know. I really don't. I think they're ugly. I don't know if anybody... I don't know. I really don't.
That's a sad ending for Explain It To Me.
I mean, the point of Explain It To Me should be probably that you ask me to explain something I actually can explain, not fashion trends.
Yes, explain fashion to me.
I'm guessing that it's just because celebrities wear them and...
Do they still, though?
You know, like, for a while, Birkenstocks were really popular like that.
That started when I was in high school.
Yeah, well, and hello.
And it was
still going.
For fucking ever.
So, okay, answer that for me. Why Birkenstocks?
Because, I'll tell you why. It's because there's this sort of illusion, this aura that the brand has cultivated of being, like, natural. And it is synonymous with embrace of a certain lifestyle, which is the young, outdoorsy, hippie type. And I think it's the easy way to signify that you have embraced that lifestyle, the lifestyle of, hey, I might have trail mix at my house, I might own a tent, is to buy Birkenstocks.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying there's certain objects like that that, for whatever reason, certain items of clothing that just have this synonymous idea of cool, even if, you know, years later you realize how ridiculous you look.
Right, but I don't think anybody thinks Birkenstocks are cool anymore. Do people? I mean, so
no.
Have UGG boots sort of passed to that level? And what do they symbolize, if anything?
I have no idea. I haven't interacted with anybody of my own age in quite some time.
Yeah. That's my fault, isn't it?
I mean, I didn't. I have my friends, but I don't have anybody. I don't have like a large campus that I go on daily basis and see what other people are wearing at large.
You know, it's really good to get a job on campus, like just to sort of like the interaction, just sort of incidental.
I feel like it would be depressing.
I think probably at your age it would be, but once I got it, once I was sort of, you know, hopelessly beyond hope. It was nice to sort of go on campus and like see, you get, you know, it's because it's like, it's the same reason that I occasionally watch the 700 Club. It's like, this is a group of people who I don't understand and I need sort of a cultural referent. And watching the 700 Club gives me that. Like, I'll understand, oh, hey, you know, Pat Robertson, he says, don't take your Prozac, which, by the way, he does. It's crazy shit. I mean, it's the same thing about being on campus. Like, oh, those are UGG boots. That's what they wear on their legs, and they look like idiots.
You're a very strange person. I don't know anybody else who would willingly expose themselves to things that piss them off just to be pissed off.
Really?
Like rage porn.
It's not rage porn. It's, you know, there are other people in the world who think, you know, differently from me, and I can't put someone else's brain in my head, so the best I can do is sort of watch them think.
Yeah, but you've seen it enough to this point where you could just probably be okay with it.
Yeah, but, you know, what am I going to do? Clean something?
I don't know.
Do the damn dishes?
Maybe.
Although I can't watch 700 Club now because we don't have cable anymore.
Well.
So there's that. All right, so that's Explain It To Me. Sometimes I guess Explain It To Me is going to have a sad ending where no one can fathom the mystery that is UGG boots.
I think that's pretty much everybody who doesn't own a pair of UGG boots.
Yeah, so if you own UGG boots, seriously, I am willing to entertain that there's something fundamental that I'm missing about
UGG boots.
No, if
you own a pair of UGG boots, fuck you.
No, Kate. We have like 8 people listening to this show. We don't want to tell any of them to fuck off. Don't make me fire you.
Oh, okay.
But seriously, I would love to be told why they're, why they scratch an itch that otherwise
you're
is
only
not scratchable.
Going, though, I'm telling you, the only thing you're going to get to hear, though, is they're so warm and they're so comfortable. That's the only thing.
Okay. Well, if that's it, that's it. So how's the mimosa treating you?
It's good. I'm on my second one.
I feel like there's an added nutritional benefit to you. Because they've got so much orange juice in them.
Was it like when my roommates and I used to get the V8 fruit juices that they have? It has like a full serving of vegetables and like a bajillion percent vitamin B and stuff like that in it, and make our drinks with those because it seemed to counterbalance for some.
Yeah, I'm not sure there is any nutritional benefit to the mimosa, but it's nice to pretend. And the more you more of them you drink, the more you can pretend.
Well, it's a good source of vitamin C. I mean...
Yeah, although, the health benefits of vitamin C have been vastly overstated.
Shut up.
Shut up has been overstated. So did you see about the big Simpsons crossovers that they're doing this season?
Lord, yes.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, apparently it was announced this last week that there's going to be a Simpsons Family Guy crossover and a Simpsons Futurama crossover.
Uh-huh.
Both of which appear to be causing Kate some level of distress.
It's not distress necessarily. It's just that it seems so desperate on the part of the Simpsons, on everybody involved, really. Like, I say this, I'm a fan of Family Guy, and I'm okay, and I say this because that seems like the kind of thing they would do. They've done so ever many random television crossovers, spinoff, whatever. It seems right up their alley, but everyone else involved, it just seems desperate, and especially on the part of Futurama, it's like, you're already being canceled the second time. Don't go down. Don't stoop to that
level.
Yeah,
Futurama's the one that I can't get. I mean, at this point, I'm not a fan of Family Guy. I think pretty much all the criticisms leveled against it are pretty fair, but, I don't like the sort of cutaway gags, and I don't like the reliance on popular culture references. But whatever, mm-hmm. There are people who do, apparently. I've met the one.
Whatever.
It's like, and again, see, I'm beating up on it now. It's like, but at this point, beating up on Futurama is so old hat. I mean, beating up on Family Guy is so old hat. And beating up on The Simpsons for sucking is old hat. It's like, I can't really work up my dander to be upset that two shows that aren't very good are having, if anything, it's one less episode if they're both,
Well, I read the headline on probably like the AV Club or Entertainment Weekly or something like that. And I honestly, for a second, I thought it was an Onion joke. Like, The Onion had just written an article about... written an article about... It's because it sounded so absurd. And then when the Futurama thing happened, like, a couple of days later, I just... It's like seeing your favorite child punch a hooker in the face. I don't know. And I really can't.
Yeah. Poor hooker. I hope your kid can't punch. Because hookers don't need that.
It's so... Like, the shows have already made fun of each other. They were always kind of, like, at ends with each other, mm-hmm. like, because they're so similar in their plot setup. Just the don't give me that look. I'm talking about the fat, ugly husband who has a really hot wife, and
that's like the oldest television trope. That goes back to the fucking Honeymooners.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it's a show that relies on those tropes, but since they were both cartoons and one was more crass than the other one.
And we've talked about this before. I just don't know how many, like The Simpsons, whatever. I don't know how many, at this point, The Simpsons has had at least triple the number of bad seasons than it had of brilliant seasons.
Yep.
So at some point, you have to just say, it's a bad show, or it's like a completely different show. I don't understand how you can be upset that what is, if you amortize it over the entire run, what is, not that. I mean, and again, I haven't seen The Simpsons recently. They can be making a lot of brilliant episodes that
they're
I haven't
not.
Watched.
They're not.
Whatever. I would prefer to think of seasons 4, 5, 6, a little bit of 3, a little bit of 7 as some entirely different show and not be sort of upset that the fact that they managed to eke out something brilliant.
You might think that you can react that way in the sense that you can just forget about the bad seasons, which is something that we do with television a lot. But they still are part of the show. It's not a different show that had...
Right, but my point is people would be think you were crazy if you said The Simpsons is a bad show.
Right.
Okay, but if you're getting like a bag and you put an episode number on every ping pong ball and mm-hmm. you dump ping pong balls into the bag, mm-hmm. the odds are very good that you're going to pick out a really bad half hour of television. So why don't we call The Simpsons a bad show? It would be ludicrous to call it, but I don't understand why we don't call it a
bad
show.
Even shows that are bad, if they have a good season or they're popular, people will always defend them.
I'm not talking about what people defend. I'm just, I'm saying, why don't we? It's weird because it's weird to sort of say this is a good show when, especially in today's culture, when we evaluate shows based on seasons or episodes, where, as in the old days, there was such lack of continuity that you really could sort of evaluate a show based on its entire run because the show was sort of dictated by format or structure. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, right, writers change, or sort of like The Simpsons, which has lasted so long, you really have to evaluate it in discrete chunks. Mm-hmm. It just seems weird to even be able to say this is a good show or this is a bad show. Mm. Whatever. If any show deserves to get 20 free years because of its four brilliant years, I think Simpsons is probably the first one that, you know, gets that freaking booby prize.
See, I don't think any show should be on the air if it is just awful. And I mean, if you're going to talk about we haven't seen it, so we can't criticize, let's talk about the fact that how many Family Guy episodes have you ever seen?
15, 20 tops.
Okay.
Yeah, it's enough. I don't have to eat, you know, 80 bowls of shit to know I don't like turd salad.
We're just getting very feisty in here.
It's the mimosas. Well, it was the Cuba Libres last time. Oh. We fought like wet cats in a pillow sack.
We didn't fight.
I'm just saying, let them do what they're going to do. If people watch it, so be it. I'm not going to watch it. I haven't watched the last 3 years of The Simpsons. Why am I going to watch? Why am I offended that something I'm not going to watch? You're not going to watch it. So why are you offended that something you're not going to watch?
I'd watch it.
Really? You're going to watch it?
I mean, if
then you definitely can't be offended because they're getting you to watch. So it's serving, it's doing its purpose.
Okay.
So, as we have done several times before, we're going to talk to Kate about her crazy dream, though I don't think they involve Prince this time, right?
Unfortunately, no. I frequently dream about work, as I guess most people do. One reoccurring dream about work is that something is just like an endless flow of tasks are coming towards me or things that I can't control, like a dream I had a couple of Christmases ago about pillow pets, which, as you may know, they are...
You mentioned this the other day, so this must
because
be a recurring one.
No, I'm telling you, the idea of toys attacking me is a reoccurring dream. The pillow pets one happened a while ago.
Okay, so what were the toys crushing you recently?
Well, it's weird. I've had so many dreams about work recently. Mm-hmm. Like every single night, something new. The toy store got converted into a wine bar.
Ooh, that's nice.
While I was trying to... No, I was... the owner showed up and took us all out to a huge management meeting at this restaurant that apparently was really ritzy. And I had gone to work in my work clothes, which are not at all fancy. And so randomly one of my other coworkers found a sweater to give to me while I was changing in the back into this new fancy outfit. I came out and the toy store had been turned into a wine bar, and you had to buy their special if you were in the store. There was no, can I go and use your phone? If you stepped into the wine bar, you had to buy the special, which was something ridiculous, like 3 glasses of wine are free.
Oh, so it was like phone for patrons only, 3 drink minimum for phone.
Something like that. It was really weird because this change happened while I was in the bathroom changing into fancier clothes because my boss
which you just
sprung.
Had in the car?
No, I told you, one of my coworkers was like, here, and she pulled out a real life sweater that I have that I like. It was like a V-neck cardigan, and I was like, here, this will go great with a tank top. And I'm
oh, that is a nice sweater, the one that's on your Twitter profile.
My Twitter profile?
Yeah, the black one with the brooch that you wear.
Oh, that's a blazer.
Oh, okay.
This is a sweater, sweetheart. This is a cardigan. It's a V-neck cardigan. And so I was at work.
The picture's like 100 pixels by 100 pixels. Don't get mad that I can't tell the difference between a jacket and a cardigan.
But we live together. You've seen the jacket.
Yeah, I think I've watched it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you're telling it's a jacket, not
okay,
a cardigan.
Okay, so anyhow.
I realized I didn't have a tank top to wear with it, and I think while I was trying to, it was very strange. By the time I got everything all situated with like my outfit, I went outside and the whole car, everyone there had left.
Mm-hmm.
And this was weird.
They'd left the wine bar?
No, they were outside waiting for me to get dressed.
Oh, so they ditched you and gone to the wine bar without you.
No, the wine bar was the store. They were going off to this other fancy restaurant for like a weird management meeting, which is also
about how to convert toys into wines.
I don't know what it was, but the restaurant ended up being very similar to the one that I had when I confronted Usher, the popular recording artist, about...
Is it because he didn't turn his chair for you?
No, it's because he put a song on Kids Bop.
So you're holding it against the artist now that they allow Kids Bop to do it.
Well, no, that's
songs.
The whole thing. As I walked, I met Usher at this random hotel bar that is in my brain, apparently, because it's a recurring sight for me. I've never been to a bar like that in existence. I think it's just my brain has this weird... Anyway, point is, I ran into Usher, the popular recording artist, and asked him, I was like, hey, Usher. And he's like, what? And I was like...
He's like, that's me.
I was like, hey, Usher. He's like, what up? And I was like, let me ask you a question. Do they have to ask your permission before they take one of your songs and put it on Kids Bop?
Right, like, is it like Weird Al or whatever?
Yeah. And he said, yeah. And I was like, well, that's messed up, man. Kids Bop sucks. And you know what? He actually respected my honesty because he bought me a beer. This was
that
another
is lovely.
This was another dream.
Was Prince jealous of Usher?
Prince was not there. Prince, I told you, Prince does not show up.
Don't lie. You know you want to see Prince and Usher fighting for your affections.
I don't, actually. I really don't. That'd be very strange.
They're both lovely men.
Yeah, but I don't want to see them fight.
Who sing, like, sexy sex songs.
Well, as we said before, Prince does not sing sexy sex songs anymore.
Not anymore.
He bought me a beer and that one, and we ended up like laughing and being friends. Like, that was the end of that. But yeah, Prince doesn't show up, and he shows up in my dreams in very innocuous ways. We've had this conversation. It's not like he would be at a bar or like in
a club.
Right,
like he was telling you how to season a shrimp, and he was trying to buy that headband that was called Purple Rain.
Yes, yes.
Have I told you my Usher story? I've told you my Usher story, right?
No.
Okay, so when I was at school, my girlfriend at the time was working at the, we had like sort of a reception desk where people, it was like an information desk.
Told me this. Okay.
So there was an information desk where people would come and ask for information about the school and student activities and things like that. And it was generally pretty quiet, but it was also where they sold tickets for events on campus. So sort of a box office slash information desk. Mm-hmm. And about the time of graduation, 1 year, there were signs up. And that was the other thing. This was sort of in a big, there was a student clubhouse. There was a big courtyard area where there were a bunch of signs for upcoming activities. And one of the signs was trying to get people to, at the upcoming convocation ceremony, to usher at convocation. And the sign said, "Usher at convocation. See, visit the information desk."
Oh, no.
So my girlfriend at the time started getting these, like, you know, 13, 14-year-old girls coming up to the desk saying, you know, "How can I get tickets for convocation? I want to see Usher."
Mm.
Yes. So the irony of having a word that is both someone's name-ish.
No, it's his real name.
It's his real name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like Neil Diamond.
It's like Prince.
Yeah, like Prince. The die is pretty much cast when you're named Neil Diamond. You know. I mean, you're basically going to be, you know, an entertainment lawyer or a lounge singer.
But the thing is that his last name was Diamond, so no matter what his first name was.
Right. Well, you know what his agent wanted him to change his name to? Because they didn't think Neil Diamond. It was something like Ice Fire or something.
Ice Diamond?
It was something crazy like that. He tells the story all the time about the names that they came up with so that he didn't use Neil Diamond. Which is like, if you're named Neil Diamond, why wouldn't you use Neil Diamond?
Just, like I said, if you were named anything and your last name was Diamond, it would sound like, "Hey, you know what my name is?
Rock Diamond."
Say Roger Diamond. Like, anything sounds like okay.
Yeah.
I think your view is colored by the fact that Neil Diamond has gone on to be a famous person.
Well, yeah. And you can't sort of imagine him as being anything other than Neil Diamond. Although sometimes, in a reverie, I like to think of him as Rock Diamond.
Stop trying to make Rock Diamond happen. It's not gonna happen.
That's what the ladies say. "I'm trying to make Rock Diamond happen, Neil."
What? That's not even effective. That's what she said.
No, it's really not.
It's just you being weird.
That's one of those names that you never see anymore. I mean, you don't see any kids coming into the store that are named Neil, do you?
Yeah.
Really? You see Neils? That's like such an old man name.
I don't think so. I think it's probably because I had Neils when I was growing up, but...
And old people names are hip now anyway with whites and
Neil
hipsters
is not,
and stuff.
Neil is not an old person name. Your old people names are like... Your Cora.
Right.
Enid and your Opal.
Iris.
And your, what are some man ones?
The hipster name. The Enids, the Iris.
Anything you
can imagine Zooey Deschanel naming her child.
Eugene.
/ tiny dog. This is my Shih Tzu, Iris.
Yeah.
This is my daughter, Opal.
And I'm trying to think of male hipster names.
Henry, Jack.
Except those are they've been popular for a while.
Right, but that's the thing. It's the thing with the hipsters, the sort of aggressive embrace of... sort of paleo hipster names.
Mm.
You know, trying to bring these really, really aggressively unfashionable names. It's like, it's like wearing thrift shop clothes. It's the same thing. It's the Macklemore phenomenon, but with names.
Yeah, but you don't see any, like, Archibalds.
Oh, I bet you will.
Yeah, but I'm saying Henry is a name that has been, like, it's a character on Mad Men.
I understand.
Right?
Henry's not the worst of them, but it is very common now.
Yeah.
Is you see Henrys and you see Jacks, which you didn't see when I was a kid. There weren't a lot of boys named Jack. There were Johns or Jonathans, but there weren't, which by the way are different names. Don't get me started on that.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say that they are names go through fashion, obviously.
Obviously. But this is the first time I've seen this sort of really, you don't think there is? There really don't think there's this sort of aggressive embrace of like Edwardian type names?
I do, but I do think that in general, girl names tend to have much more flux in what's popular and new creative names than boy names.
Yeah,
do.
Like the Madisons and the Mackenzies and the Ashleys that you got 10 years ago.
If you look, or Michaela.
Or all the shitty fake Irish names that people were getting.
Like what?
Moiras and Siobhans and stuff, and Mollies from about 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I just, if you look at kids' popular names for each year, boys versus girls, boys tend to stay the same. The same names show up. That's not to say that certain names don't just pop up all of a sudden.
I see what you're saying. The flux in guys' names is a lot more tied to demographic trends. Like if you see, you know, if a bunch of Italians move in, you'll see more Italian names.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Like, I'm just saying, like, speaking. There's always in the top 20 names, there's always going to be like, you got the same names. You've got your Henry, you've got your Charles, you've right. got your Christopher.
Right. No, I see what I'm saying is that in men's names, you said fashion was less applicable in men's names. Yes. And I think that's true. Like you see the changes, they're based mostly on demographic changes, not on fashions. Whereas with women's names, the demographic pressures apply, but also the fashion changes more quickly.
And that's not to say that random archaic names don't pop up. Like Liam is one of the top five names for kids in the country right now.
That's still the retro Irish bullshit.
That's what I'm saying is the only other person I knew whose name was Liam before I started working with kids was fucking David Boreanaz on Angel, like whose human name is Liam.
And Liam Neeson.
Oh, and Liam Neeson.
Right. So these people just want their kid to grow up and punch wolves a wolf in the face. Right.
Yeah. And have a giant cock.
Does he have a giant cock?
Have we not talked about this?
No. We talk a lot about celebrity penises. I'm surprised we haven't talked about Liam Neeson.
Janice Dickinson said in her autobiography. No.
Her eyes. Let me tell you what. She's had so many facelifts, she can't see straight. So I don't trust her description of anything.
No, he has a giant schlong.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. He's, you know, a big, tall guy. Poor man deserves this giant schlong after what happened with Natasha Richardson. What?
That's so poor guy.
I know. It's sad. She was wonderful.
Yeah. Okay.
He could take consolation in his huge member.
Okay.
What? I mean, are you saying it would be better if he had a tiny penis? I think he's happier.
But I think given the fact that the love of my life died in a horrible accident versus, but at least I have a giant penis.
I'm not saying he made that calculus. I'm just saying his life is probably better slightly.
I think his life is in the exact same place. Maybe this is just me coming as a girl.
No, because if you say that his life is in the same place, then you're saying that there's absolutely no advantage to having a respectably sized penis.
Except he had a respectably sized penis when his wife was still alive.
Right. I know, but I'm just saying. Like, you.
This is like the pee thing. I don't get it, do I?
Like people peeing on each other? No. Like J.J. Redick?
No, I mean like the guys peeing pieces of detritus off the bowl but still squirting everywhere else.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
I just, you know, it's like if you were fabulously wealthy and your wife died, mm-hmm. life would be a little easier than if you were incredibly poor and your wife died.
I still think you would have the same levels of heartbreak. And
right, but you also wouldn't have to worry about where your next meal was coming from. Just like if you're Liam Neeson, you don't have to worry about women not liking your penis.
Well, some women don't want to.
That's
huge,
true.
Like literally,
that's
her words when she described this in her autobiography were, he opened his pants and an Evian bottle popped out.
Well, that's just so it was like absurd. Clear and had ridges on it.
Yes, exactly. Ribbed for your pleasure.
It was recycled.
Ladies. Ribbed for your pleasure, ladies.
Bottled at the source in France.
Stop. The point is that it's a huge dick.
Right. How do we get on that? Oh, Liam, the name. Right. So, yeah, I think that's like a trailing indicator, though, from the weird Irish names, don't you think?
My point was that that's not to say that male names don't have a random one that just pops up every once mm-hmm. in a while that's super popular, but your lady names tend to fluctuate much more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, it all comes back to people wanting their kid to be special. It's and, like, the weird idea that, you know, it's the first decision that you have about your child. Mm-hmm. And you want to make this decision in the specialest special way possible.
So why wouldn't you give them a normal name?
Because it's all about convincing yourself that your child is special. It's all about convincing yourself that your child is not just some giant bag of meat that is here on the planet for 72 years and does nothing except breathe, consume resources, and fart.
Okay, wow, that's a dim. It's a dim view you've got there. I was going to say, it's not so much that new names bother me. Like, if you bring back into vogue old-fashioned names, like your like Mercedes or Meredith or
Adolf.
No. I'm saying I don't like it when
Kermit.
I don't like it when people name their kids in these wacky, horrible spellings that make no sense phonetically. That's what bothers me the most.
Yeah, your name should not be like a puzzle from the newspaper that you have to figure
and
out.
And I'm not talking about John with an N versus John with an H. You know, because I feel like that's been around for a while. I'm talking about your random Y's and extra A's and I's.
Yeah,
and
I think if you're going to do that, just do an original name. I think I would rather see a name that I'd never heard before than, you know, Robert, Robbyerte.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. I'd rather just have it be, you know, Ringledon, like a name I hadn't seen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, at least it's not like, it's not a trap name.
Is that the sequel to Rumpelstiltskin? Right, exactly. Ringledon?
Right, exactly. It's Mr. Mitzelplitik's cousin.
I'll weave this into the straw into gold if you give me your firstborn right. child.
But I'll weave these pine needles into silver. That's my cousin.
Because I'm Ringledon.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I would rather have a name that I had no, and this is, you know, I used to, for my job, have to ask people how to spell their name, because again, it was the whole yeah. trope was, you know, even if their name is John Smith, you have to ask them how it's spelled. And I would rather, it's easier to remember to do that with a name that you are completely unfamiliar with.
John Smythe.
Right, or whatever, you know.
No, and I just, I...
Chachama Ringledon.
I don't like it. I'm sorry, but there's no reason that you should have, like, if you name your kid Isaiah, it should not be I-Z-A-Y-U-H.
Let them name their kids what they want to name.
They're clearly free to. I can't stop them.
Well, you know,
I'm
in New
saying.
Zealand, they stop people. Like, the government can tell you that your name is too wacky for your kids. Like, no. They've, no, seriously. In New Zealand, they have taken kids' names away. Because their parents named him like wacky shit, like, you know, Obi-Wan Force User Johnson.
Oh, well.
Force User Johnson? I hardly know her Johnson.
Stop. Why does she have a Johnson?
I don't, yeah, again. Her name is Liam. So compared to Milton Berle, Liam Neeson is bigger than Milton Berle?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I'm guessing Janice Dickinson fucked Milton Berle.
Probably. I think that the largest penis that the world has known.
Well, you mean besides that guy from the Learning Channel?
We can probably, I know there's an article.
His name's like Jonah Falcon. Yeah.
There's an article out there that I've read that it was like biggest.
It's like a fucking thermos. I know.
Can
but
I
that's
talk?
Like a mutant. No. Okay, what?
It's like biggest celebrity schlongs of all time. And Liam Neeson's on there. But the biggest one is obviously Rasputin.
How is that a celebrity?
Because he's a historical figure. He's not like, hey, you know what? My neighbor might. No. Listen. My next door neighbor might have the biggest schlong in the world. Mm-hmm. But no one's going to care.
Here's why you can't do that. Here's why you can't put historical figures on your list of giant penises. And this is something that I care very much about. And that's why I'm using my serious voice. Because if you're doing that, you're assuming, and I'm talking to you, BuzzFeed, you're assuming on yourself, I'm talking to you, Cracked, you're assuming on yourself the ability to gauge the penis size of every historic figure. So my attitude is, if you don't know how big the Buddha's penis is, you can't put Rasputin on the list.
Okay, that's like saying because you don't know how big your best friend's penis is, you can't comment on the fact that Rasputin has
a giant
schlong.
You don't know how big your best friend's penis is.
No, but you know, like, just because you don't know, that's like, you're an ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you
don't
know.
In every way.
Because you don't know the penis size and girth and all that of every other person that is ever, that is
How
alive right now.
How did this show get so penis-y?
I don't know.
You mentioned it. I just think you have to, it's a sample bias issue. You got to narrowly define your sample.
But no,
if they're
just talking about the world's largest penises, I think celebrities and historical figures.
So was it world's largest or was it large penis celebrities?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But I know that Rasputin was on there. And if you really want to see something disturbing, podcast listeners.
Well, yeah, even they preserved it, right?
Google
yeah,
Rasputin's
yeah,
penis.
Yeah, because it's out there. Don't do that.
It's
don't.
Huge.
Don't. Rasputin wants you to Google his penis. I don't.
What?
Yes,
because he's still alive.
Because I'm using the word Google in a vaguely. I am such a hack. So now we're going to get to the part of the show where we do recommendations each week. Kate and I, after being mean to everything else, which we shouldn't, because really the world is too mean already. But each week after doing that, we give a recommendation for something that we enjoyed in the previous week that we had seen. So, Kate, why don't you kick it off?
If you are, in fact, tired of looking at penises and hearing penis talk, I would now suggest to you the wonderful Netflix original series, Orange is the New Black, which has a lot of... It has a lot of snatch, for lack of a better word. Anyway, that was a segue that went horribly wrong. My point is that Orange is the New Black is a wonderful show on Netflix. It is an original comedy with a very diverse, talented cast. It focuses on the story of a young woman, true story by the way, who was
true-ish,
who was put into jail 10 years after she committed a minor drug-related crime, and is now adapting to being in prison. When she never thought that she would be. With a lot of zany characters and stuff, and it's wonderful, heartfelt.
Very good.
But funny at the same time.
Very funny. I believe they've just announced it's been picked up for another season.
It has.
It's a Netflix original, so if you have Netflix streaming, you can see it.
Yeah.
By Jinji Cohen, who made Weeds. It's very, very good. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
And it does have Jason Biggs masturbating, so it's not completely penis-free.
Well, Jason Biggs apparently has made an entire career out of masturbating on screen. I really want to know how that happened, but... Anyway, Josh, what are you recommending?
So I'm going to recommend a short documentary called Training Rules. It's up on Hulu Plus streaming. It's a documentary about the Penn State women's basketball program that had a scandal in the mid-2000s about the basketball coach. Her name was Renee Portland, and her pretty open policy about not accepting lesbians onto the basketball team, and sort of how some women had been drubbed out and convinced not to hang out with their friends or their girlfriends because of this policy. And it was a pretty major scandal at the time. It sort of got subsumed in the popular consciousness after the Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky scandal. But it's sort of along the same lines. It, aside from the fact that it addresses gay rights, which is a big issue right now, it also addresses the power of collegiate athletics and the ability to sort of, and the power that these coaches have over people's lives and the decisions that they make, and the fact that these women, you know, they had to choose between who they were and whether or not they wanted to stay in school. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very sad. Now, the production values on the documentary aren't great, and it's a little ham-fisted at times, but I think it's a story that not a lot of people know about. So I'm recommending it. It's called Training Rules. It's on Hulu Plus. It's very short. It's like 70 minutes tops, so you'll enjoy it. Highly recommended. So that's my recommendation, Training Rules. Kate's recommendation is?
Orange is the New Black.
So go forth and listen. As always, we welcome your feedback. We love reviews on iTunes.
Yep.
As I say frequently, we are paid in the currency of your joy, and you don't want us to be unpaid.
What? That sounds so threatening.
Don't make us unhappy. We welcome iTunes reviews. They're very helpful. Even if you're not entirely delighted with the show, I'm a big boy. I can take your feedback.
He really can't.
Yeah, that's true. Follow us on Twitter at PNTcast. Mm-hmm. Website is PNTcast.wordpress.com. We have a Facebook page if you look up Prefer Not To. And of course, we're on iTunes if you search for Prefer Not To. That's where you can write your reviews. So that's it for our Mimosa cast. Pretty tasty treat, the mimosa, don't you think?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it to anybody.
So, for Kate, who is sitting right here next to me, so I don't actually need to do anything for her. But for Kate, I'm Josh.
And for Josh, I'm Kate.
And we look forward to spending another hour-ish with you soon with a cocktail yet to be determined.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening.